champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
Welcome back, everybody, to Belt Kings Presents Champions. This episode, number 4, is a part 2 to a great episode where we gave y'all with the WWF Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. And as myself, the host here, Mike Knox, and I'm always joined by also my kicks are my fix, nephew Corey from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence as well. What's going on, Corey?
What's going on, man? Part 2, that's crazy that we went really last week. And we're like, we got to do so much with this championship that there's a part 2. So,
What I loved about it most was that this show is dedicated to the titles we love as being belt kings. Yes, people. Now, you already know. You ask me all the time. You need 5 belts to be considered a belt king. And other belt kings. What up, Mo underscore Eden on the Twitter and Instagram and wherever your social media is. So, who also said, that might make you a belt duke. If you get 1 belt, but you at least got to meet the requirements, baby, of 5. Corey says,
oh, man, y'all agree. Look, he knows I'm the nice one. I'm the nice one, and I am. I'm the nice one, so it is what it is. That's me. I'm the nice one.
And as collectors of belts, we're talking about the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. And, of course, we're talking about that belt because we love wrestling, and we're talking about the wrestlers who had said titles. Well, Corey, you kind of got to talk about the Oval Intercontinental WWF Attitude Era Intercontinental belt. And then we can give you the proper Mount Rushmore of champions for this belt and then the combined 2 belts.
Sure.
That's part 2, Corey.
Yeah, sure.
And you can find episode 1, 2, 3, part 4 today also on wherever podcasts are. So iHeartRadio, Spotify, you got it. We are there and follow the station that gives you all the identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports and 96.9 FM Fox Sports. Let's get into this, Corey. The WWF Intercontinental Attitude Era Championship belt. Corey, please tell the folks a little bit about this beautiful design. I have to say this one too. I don't have this belt. But I didn't think I even wanted it before I did the research for this show, Corey.
Okay, fair enough. And you know what? And that's funny you mentioned that because that's not one that I own either. I never had a desire for it. This belt was the Oval Intercontinental Championship, as it's affectionately called. It was debuted in 1998, after WrestleMania 14, with The Rock. It was the designer, I believe, is J-Mar, who designed some belts for WCW a little bit earlier at that time. And they were commissioned, I believe, to design the WWF belts at that point when all of the Reggie Parks design belts were retired from WWF. So this one, like I said, 1998, had a purple stripe. And this was the era, it was kind of interesting that WWE went with colored straps for their championships.
Were they like purple at first?
Yeah, this one was purple, and it might have been. And when they were debuted, the new World Heavyweight Championship, the Big Eagle, which another show we'll get to.
Right,
the Eagle was blue. The Intercontinental Championship was purple. The European Championship was green. And the only one that stayed a traditional black strap was the World Tag Team Championship. And
but at that time, they haven't switched the tag team titles at that point. This title.
Yeah, and that's what's funny. The tag team championship was the only one that didn't have a redesign. The tag team championship didn't get a redesign until they changed the logos later that year or into next year, I think. But they were the only ones that didn't get a change. But we'll get into that too at another point.
Okay, go ahead.
But
we always say, as my man Jeremy Johnson say, my big YouTube friend of mine, comment below, let us know your thoughts, your opinions about this show. And a lot of people get back to me and say, we're talking about the titles we have and we love. Again, we heard us. I don't have this title. Corey, you don't have this title, but it's still a beautiful belt. The conversation from part 3 led us into part 2 about this belt. So people say, well, can you talk about the thickness and the weight? And Corey, we can't really talk about belts we don't own, and that even the ones we do own aren't the ones the professionals own, right?
Yeah, so what that is that when we get those questions, the first thing I'm thinking of is for people who do collect and by the replicas from WWE Shop and things of that nature, in which I can tell you most of those are anywhere between 5 to maybe 7 pounds. It's about 4 millimeter plate thickness now. Some of the earlier replicas were 2 millimeters. But with that being said, if they're asking about the television, the actual championships that are right. used on television, unless you have access to those championships, there's virtually no way for you to have that information of specs as far as the weight, plate thickness. Because everything mm-hmm. on television, so recently when WWE actually started selling their Universal, they're both their Universals, and their World Heavyweight Championship, the actual TV ones, they just last year started to sell those online at $5,000. Other than that, you don't really have the specs for that. So we can always research and give you the specs on the replicas if you're right. going to look for that, because information is available.
Well, let's give
and
them like that. I said, let's know, give them that, because we can't talk you know about what
I can pull that up
and go buy. As you said.
Yeah, yeah, so I can pull that up. Give me one moment. I'll
pull
that up right now.
So for those who
actually
want that, and that's fine, because we have a lot of those belts you're looking to buy, and if this one you want to know mm-hmm. about buying, we're going to give you those specs. So moving forward from now on, when we talk mm-hmm. about the titles and how they are and how they're crafted, we'll talk about how you can purchase that belt and how that will be what you will receive.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And most people if you ever go on WWE Shop and look at a belt that is available that for you to buy, they do actually have the specs on there with the championship. So I'm actually pulling up right now Intercontinental.
And also, guys, this show is fake. Mm-hmm. First of all, happy belated Memorial Day for those out there. Thank you to the troops and everybody who has served in the war and has been a tragedy of war, who has fought for us to be free to even sit here and do this show. So I hope your Memorial Day, Corey, was great. I for the first time, I actually bought fireworks, and they weren't the ones I thought. I spent like 50 mm-hmm. bucks at the Walmart con. Yeah, Walmart, I'm a little disappointed. I'm thinking I'm going to get some pow, 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 some Tasha Max to go all in the air. And I ain't getting no Tasha Max. Okay, it was pretty. You know, come on, Tasha Mack, pow, 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 pow. Ain't none of that. Nothing even went above my roof, Walmart. So next time I ain't going to you, I'm going to Publix to somebody to buy my fireworks. But it's okay. I digress. My kids had a great time watching the fireworks. And honestly, that's all that matters to me, is when my kids had a show. And also, last week, we dedicated the show in honor of Shad. Now we know the demise that has profounded us. So for me anyway, and I say for us, we are dedicating this show to a belt king himself, Brooklyn's own father hero, Mr. Shad Caspar as well. Cool.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. And what's funny, as you mentioned this championship yeah. and finding the specs and everything, apparently this is a popular replica, because first of all, it's not on WWE Shop anymore. It's not on anywhere else. I mean, I found the specs, but right now it seems like unless you go on eBay, it's sold. And it's so funny, when they brought it back last year, I saw it in Toronto when I went to SummerSlam. I was tempted even at then, because it was so nice that the one that yeah. has been redone, because a lot of the replicas that they've mm-hmm. done now have been redone. To where they changed the plate thickness. The last couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years, most of the replicas that they've done, they've redone the specs of. Mm-hmm. But I found it. This belt is 5.5 pounds, so 5 pounds. So it is the main plate, which, interestingly enough, the original, this is where they were going, WWF in 98, they're going to make sure that the WWF championship was bigger in size than every belt that was on television. Because if you notice, a lot of the belt collectors, you all will know, when the Winged Eagle was there, when the Winged Eagle yeah. passing in the Continental.
As I look at them side by side, I would say the classic yeah. Continental Heavyweight title is bigger than the Winged Eagle title.
Well, yeah. Right. And the tag Jack belt, I both. Think, was right. shade bigger. Both. Yeah, so they went to make sure that whoever was carrying the world championship was it. The belt signified that, because they wanted the belt to be gotcha. Bigger than the other belts. So the original of this was actually pretty small. If you look at it, on television, I don't have the specs of the original, but then they upgraded it and it got a little bit bigger, maybe probably about 2001, they upgraded it. And the specs I'll read to you now are pretty much similar to what the upgrade was in 2001. The main plate is 11.4 inches by 7.5. So the length, you know, left to right.
Sure. And those who are watching on YouTube, so those who are listening via podcast, we're giving you both sides. Go ahead. Professionals.
Yeah. So that was the 11 inch from, you know, left to right. From top to bottom, it's 7.5 inches. So that was pretty much the upgrade, because like I said, the one in 98 was a little bit smaller. The replica of this, like I told you earlier, weighs 5.51 pounds, so about 5.5 pounds. The first side plate, because that one is a little bit bigger than the second one, it's 4.72 inches by 3.3 inches. And the second side plates are 3 inches by 3.5. So when you look at the belt, that's that down, that kind of, you know, slimming out effect that the belt has. So those are your specs on that belt. But the like I said, I remember seeing it in Toronto last year, and I said, ooh, they really did a good job on this.
At the title again, and like I said, I kind of want it now where I didn't want it. I want it based on the lineage of the title. Design of the belt. And that's why, and doing a part two for the Intercontinental Championship, the first belts I believe we picked, luckily enough, were not just the most popular title, but the designs were very distinctive. And this one, it's kind of a plain looking title. This is more of a what you're feeling in your heart, and you can remember that belt, that moment I told you about history, about how you can relate to it, that can take you there. The design is very, very simple with just whatever the globe on it, the WWF Attitude Era WWE sign on it, World Wrestling Entertainment across it, and then the way Intercontinental is spelt with the weight. The side plates are.
Yeah, well, you know why they did that though, because the original was not like that. They started putting it, just said Intercontinental Champion, and the part where it said champion, that's now where the nameplate is. This is when WWE started putting nameplate. Onto the championship, which I believe done, I want to say maybe 2003.
On what here?
On the Oval Intercontinental Championship that they started putting the nameplate. Once they debuted the United States Championship, which had a
you know, I'm waiting for that though, because that's one of my favorite WWE designs of all time. I can't wait for that one.
Well, that one
right there.
That one in the big gold, other side. There you go. The big gold had a nameplate on it. The WWF, which was now the Undisputed Championship, nameplate on it. So they redesigned the Intercontinental Championship to have a nameplate on it. And both of the split brand tag team championships, the Raw and SmackDown, also had nameplates on them. So the Intercontinental Championship was the only one that didn't. They redesigned it, so that's why that banner has
But you know what? I like what you pointed out that I didn't even notice, and this is again why I'm myself a fan of this show. I didn't even realize that the belts were smaller or bigger, and it makes it more distinctive that your world champion title should be bigger. Like I fast forward to today and look at the AEW championship, and it's like, Jesus, that's the champion. Yeah. You can just look at it and tell.
Yeah,
I personally can't wait for that belt to come out, and I can purchase that belt. That is a beautiful looking design.
That one's on my list too.
I want that. I find funny because again, I'm a bigger guy who's losing weight. So guys, if you got a 52-inch waist, this belt ain't going around your waist, fatty. All right, you and me both. Okay, I'm only two away from that. I'm a 48. All right, I'll be down to a 42 by next year's WrestleMania. Mark my words. Okay, in LA, I cannot go to LA a second time and can't take my shirt off at the beach. Okay, shirt's coming off at the beach. Well, I get my Roscoe and chickens. My Roscoe chicken and waffles. It's gonna be in LA. You cannot go to LA, Corey, and not go to Pinky's, go to Roscoe Chicken and Waffles, and go to 2-1 and Lewis. We know what 2-1. All All right, we know what 2-1 is. Fair enough. Hook a left.
Fair okay. enough. Yep.
Fair but enough. Back to this. Back to this Fair beautiful enough. Beam footage, which is this title, the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship, the Attitude Era belt, and get into this discussion. We gave you the belt dimensions. J. Martin made the belt. Google these guys. You want to see what this belt is? You want to go purchase this belt? I believe it's going for about roughly whatever that price is, $400. For this title?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When it's available, because now, like I said, this it's always telling the era or the quality of the replicas when you can't find them anymore on shop. And for the longest time, because I didn't have one for the longest time, and I was like, okay, I at least decided to get one. The NXT Championship, the current one, which we'll get into once again, we'll be talking about all these belts we mentioned, everybody. So we're going to get to them. But the NXT Championship was gone for a long time on WWE Shop, and you just couldn't find it. And it
Which one? The newest one?
Okay. The current NXT Championship. Yeah.
Because, you know, I jumped on the original one first with the big X being Mike Knox with three X's. As soon as I saw that belt, I said, it's my title. So that's a good thing you point out, because you can get any belt when you want to go get it. That is how, like, how long have I looked for a Slammy Award? And I'm just one of those guys. We talked about last week about trusting other sites. We told you this week we would have some sites for you. What we'll do is I'll make sure we put them in the description. So that way, if you look for the shows, you can see the description of where you can get certain belts from. And again, I told you guys I was kind of fickle. WWE didn't sell it. I didn't want to buy it from other places because I just can't trust other places. Like, I saw belts last week. Sure. I had sent to you and Mo Eaton and some of the other Belt King guys. And I had showed, and it was like, 200 belts for that Wing Eagle. I don't trust that belt. Is what I was told. And I was like, man, I'm glad you told me, because one of my friends who wants to be a Belt King, he's not even a jester yet, was like, send me the link, send me the link. I said, I can't. They just told me it's not a real one. You know what I mean? And then it's belts that people make, Corey, with these designs. That it means the leather is different, everything else is different. Go ahead and speak on that.
Yeah. So, you know what? You know, I hate to do this. I actually have an example of something where I can present it right now. I swear to goodness, if you could give me 10 seconds, I can
y'all
will
see his beautiful bean footage face, but I'll talk for you while you get that belt. Now, this is why I think it's important, because you get fooled. You want something so bad. Like, for instance, I've said this time and time again on various programs I've been a part of. My favorite title of all time is the NWA television title by Arn Anderson. Up until about a year ago, I had a hard time finding that belt. I've seen a lot of people, like, they can make a belt, they can make those belts, but I was always afraid to order one of those titles because I don't want the leather to be different. I don't want the certain things. So for me, I got to know who it is. I looked them up. I knew AJS belts when he first came out. When he was, to me, he, I believe he was one of the first ones to start selling belts. Along, because they were coming from Wrestling Superstore before WWE got these belts. We were collecting these. So you had to be careful where you got it from. And then all of a sudden, like fantasy football titles, it just burst on the scene. Everybody was making them. Like, that's not real. Go ahead, Corey. What we got?
Yeah. So what you can do. So there are people out there who do make customs, and you got to be careful because some people go on eBay, and you know they'll see these prices, $200 worth. The quality, you're going to have to pay a little bit. I'll put it that way. There's really no steals on custom belts. Unless you're getting one, and you're going to pay a little bit for it. Just are. And honestly, I'll keep it 100 with you. You're going to pay north of $400 for it, a good quality.
Well, guess what, you cheap people? Most of mine cost that much anyway. Okay? So
there you go. See? So if you can't get the authentic, you know, WWE shop, you can get a custom. And a lot of people do. It's because I have a couple of customs. You can't just go on eBay.
Is your baby blue Wing Eagle a custom? I've always wondered that. Okay.
No.
Okay.
My baby blue Intercontinental and Winged Eagle are both.
Okay. And I ask that because when I first met you, again, we met via social media. Okay. When I first met Corey, I was like, I think we both kind of was like, who is this black dude with all these belts? Well, Corey's mom just. My mind was looking at this black guy. Corey was probably like, who's this dude with all these belts? And I'm like, what's going on? Yeah, we have mutual friends. But see, what you got there? Yeah. You ran somewhere. You said 10 seconds. This is about 8.2.
So I have a custom. I have one of my customs with me. And it is a very good quality. And, you know, it's going to run you about a good $400, $500. This one came from my boy, okay. JB Toys, and this is a okay. winged eagle.
God, that felt so beautiful.
With your mm-hmm. got your curve, got everything with it, got your, yep.
your signal
on. But see, that was another one I wanted, and okay. I wanted a custom of it.
And what separates this as custom, as you knock off your headset?
Yeah, and I wanted a custom. And here's the thing, because like the one yeah. you have on the back,
okay.
I had that one. I had the original one, but I said, you know what? I'm going to splurge a little bit. I wanted a custom one just to have a nice custom one also. And that's what you do.
So my wing didn't cost that either. I want to be clear here.
Yeah.
I got that very lucky. A mm-hmm. Friend of mine was collecting belts with me. Y'all, if y'all remember him, Wise Shabazz, the one we call Wise. He was collecting belts. Mm-hmm. He, you know, got out of the wrestling business, so to speak. And I got yep. that belt for $125. Okay.
Yeah, and that's what you want to do. You want to catch. That's the thing. You even though you yeah. got to be leery, but if your stuff, a lot of these belts,
people sell them all the time.
Stuff,
they're trying to get rid of them.
People sell them all the time. And so they'll get rid of this stuff. And that's pretty much what you got to go by. If you, like I said, if you're on eBay, if it's coming from yeah. out of the country, it's probably, yeah. Cause see, here's the thing. Now the people who make customs and stuff, they make customs and they may come from different parts of,
right.
of the world, you know, all together to okay. make your custom. When it's something that ridiculously low, the old expression yeah. "too good to be true" is
they had me
true. You're gonna pay a little bit.
I was for bamboozled. What you, mm-hmm. I was hoodwinked almost. I was about to be led astray because I said $200 for a wing eagle mm-hmm. title. That's impossible. So I like that you had yeah. that. You spoke on customs. It's not always a bad thing. Again, guys, like anything, just do your research. Mm-hmm. And that way, you know, don't just jump yeah. on something right away. If you have friends, if you know people, it's okay to ask a friend about a big purchase. Okay? I don't think that's one of the things that yeah, bothers
absolutely.
You. That, you know, and not those things where you can call yourself and Google. I used to have friends. I used to be like, yo, how do I download? Mm-hmm. If you don't go Google how to download that, if you don't go YouTube that, this ain't something you can go YouTube exactly how to get you know, a good deal on mm-hmm. something. But again, let's move on to the first wear and owner mm-hmm. of this Intercontinental Attitude Era
yeah.
belt. It's the Rocky Maivia, not The Rock.
I'm glad you said that. Yes, Rocky Maivia. Yes, The Rock, Rocky Maivia. That's who was holding that championship.
He won exactly this title right. from Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Like you're here, man. They got this mm-hmm. little thing going on right now called Wrestle Quiz. I'm going to tag you in it. I'm going to get them people. All right. Okay.
That's fine.
My little son is saying, wait, we're doing something for 4th of July or Memorial Day. I apologize. And real quick story. And my daughter was like, well, he won the Royal Rumble like this. He said, and Chris said, no, it was this one. And this year mm-hmm. it was this one. And that year it was this one. I'm looking at him like, I don't even know those questions, those answers that question. But it's okay. But Rocky Maivia beats The Rock. This is why I love this title already. Austin had mm-hmm. the original Intercontinental belt that we talked about last week. Or not the original, but the second. But that was the original.
Yep.
And then
that was a classic.
Rocky mm-hmm. gets it. Then Hunter gets it. Then Shamrock gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Val yep. Venus, Road Dogg, back to Goldust, the Godfather, mm-hmm. back to Jeff Jarrett. We talked about it. And then the reigns begin with Edge, mm-hmm. D'Lo Brown, Jeff Jarrett back in here.
Yeah. What a lineage. Think about that lineage
in
of guys. In a row in which, if you think about it, all the way through that point, I'm trying to think, it had maybe been years before you had a guy with that particular belt that had been world yeah. champion. I think Triple H is the first one to have been world champion to be Intercontinental champion with that belt again, because nobody else had been world champion.
That's when
yet.
He got it back again, and you're right. This is a title
yeah.
very few went back to get. Because, you know, that whole thing mm-hmm. about it being the workhorse title, you get that to go to the next level. You don't yep. go back. But at this stage in wrestling, you kind of, your world champions
yeah,
went back and forth. And it was okay.
Bit.
It was accepted mm-hmm. even, Corey, by fans. Just a little bit yep. real quick, as I had the list up. And Jeff Jarrett, China, who beats mm-hmm. Jeff Jarrett for that belt. Chris Jericho yeah. then gets it. You got China yep. and Chris Jericho were co-champions of this. Kurt
yeah.
Angle,
yep.
Benoit. Rikishi, mm-hmm. I mean, you just mm-hmm. name them. Billy Gunn, Triple
yeah.
H, Jeff Hardy, Kane, Prince Albert, Lance
yeah.
Storm. Kofi Kingston had his title. Christian had his title.
Christian also.
Ain't no stopping me. He had. I wish it had came. I wish Shelton Benjamin. Last night on Raw, though. I'm sorry. When I see what was going on with MVP and them, I said, come on, give me Shelton. Give me Shelton Benjamin. Then the black guys came out and got beat up. At first, I was like, yes, new people. I said, oh, no. They just didn't get beat up. Right? But back to this title, Corey. And again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I said last week it was the hardest Mount Rushmore to put together for the classic belt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's equally hard for this one, Corey.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The people I spoke on, how you see, you talked about going back and forth to that belt. I'm just going to flat out say it. We all pull punches, and I ain't right now because I'm kind of hungry. Who is the best champion of the Intercontinental Attitude Era Championship? Not Intercontinental Champion yet. The Oval Belt.
So, and just making sure I'm answering this correctly, are we talking about the entire lineage of 98 through 2011 for this belt? Okay. Okay, good. That's all I needed to know.
If somebody asks you below Randy about Orton stuff, you can question it. Go. I'm sorry. What is
it? It's Randy Orton. I really think it's Randy Orton.
Randy,
I really do.
Injury update Orton?
Yeah, Randy. Actually,
swore on my mama. I thought you was going to.
I'm going to say Jericho. I'm going to say Jericho, but I think Randy's one run with it meant so much where his career went from that point, because he was champion from, I want to say, December through June, July.
For you right now, so we got Orton from December 14, 2003. One in Orlando against Mick Foley at Armageddon. And he loses that belt in July to Edge at Vengeance.
Edge. And then he goes on to wear next month. He becomes World Heavyweight Champion.
I don't think he looks back. As I'm
he does
talk about guys getting it and going back. Like Jericho went back. Triple H went back and had that belt again.
And it's going to be Jericho.
Orton's only had – I'm sorry. You can continue to talk, and as I'm out loud. I apologize.
Yeah, no. He's only one time in the Continental.
And you say you would put him from that one run from December to July. Here's
the thing. His one run meant more to his career than anybody else's that had it, I think. His one run, because look where he went. He literally went from –
that workhorse title and springboarded.
Iron Evolution – To be in, I'm sorry, look, not my headphones. He was the world heavyweight champion from then on. Singles career, legend, like his trajectory went straight up from having that belt. That's why I said he's up there. But it is Jericho. We can clear that up now. Best one. It is Jericho. However, some of the future trajectories to have that kind of.
By the way, Jericho's a 9-time champion, by the way.
Yep. Jericho is and Miz are tied with the most reigns. So Orton, Angle, those are the two I think of that kind of skyrocketed, through having the Intercontinental Championship, in which, they were giving Kurt the world because Kurt was the Eurocontinental champion. And, we've only had, if I'm not mistaken, I think we've only had three Eurocontinental champions. I think D'Lo, Jarrett.
Hold on. Angle. D'Lo, I know for sure.
Jarrett
was a Eurocontinental? That just came completely went over my mind.
He gave the European championship to Mark Henry.
Okay, and then
he gave him the championship.
Angle.
Wow. And Angle.
Okay.
Okay. Only three.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What was? Eurocontinental. Okay. Because Triple H was Continental Tag, and HBK was World. Whatever you want to put that together. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Listen, the show had to get made because the title was important enough. Okay. And then the lineage of this title, and I think it is a slam dunk. Okay, it's like Michael Jordan in Game 6 of the finals. It ain't going to Game 7. It's Chris Jericho is the greatest champion.
It is.
And I jump the show right now without giving you anything else. Two of the Mount Rushmores automatically go to Miz and Jericho. So then, what does that do with my other two overall Intercontinental Champions. Mm-hmm. List. We'll get to that later. But on this, those are two right there. It's Miz. Miz is in this belt frame. I apologize. It's Jericho for sure. Okay. But I'm gonna take you back. I jumped too far ahead. I'm gonna take you back though. When that belt first was handed over to Rocky Maivia, as you said, The Rock, Rocky Maivia. That was the transition of him at that time. That belt for him, also as much as Randy Orton propelled him.
He's the other one. Realistically, he went Intercontinental Championship, and you know. Did the honors, I guess, because and you could say that in a way, did the honors to Triple H with the ladder match.
Hey, I just then you pause. You did the honors.
Here's why. Listen to me. Here's why. You gotta listen.
You know, I'm a trip guy. I'm a little offended here.
Because I am too. You know that. Triple H wasn't where Rock was yet.
Better rivalry with him and Rock, though, you than knew. Him and Stone Cold, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. Where Rock was at that point, you knew when he dropped the belt to Triple H at SummerSlam that year, he was becoming world champion. And you knew that. Like, there was nowhere else for him to go. But pretty much, when I say doing the honors, he had to pretty much all in one swoop in that match. He left the mid-card and he left the nation pretty much all in one swoop with that match. That was it. Because he pretty much... They never really had a full nation blow-up breakup.
Oh, that was so missed.
He tapered off. D'Lo and Mark Henry kind of did their thing. Godfather was already pretty much done in a sense of he was the Godfather at this point. Owen was already transitioning out. He was starting to do other things, and he eventually teamed with Jarrett. So, and you're right. For them not to have a true nation blow up, I mean, they kind of jumped Rock, but they never had a jumping, few.
Really, I forgot that. They jumped.
Yeah, I think Mark Henry and I think D'Lo and Mark Henry did. But they never had a true storyline with it where they broke up. It was a story. They just petered off, and they just had Rock really do his own thing. And that was what I mean by doing the honors in the sense of he transitioned Triple H to get his big win because Hunt still didn't have a big win over Rock. Rock was the top mid-carder pretty much, as the Intercontinental Champion should be. And Rock pretty much put that into Triple H that now Triple H was going to be on that track to be like, okay, this is that Intercontinental title run that's getting me to the World Championship. But Rock had to do that this time, and he got himself out of the way. And then Rock 2 months later or whatnot, or 3 months later, is the world champion.
Again, that's what I sort of miss in wrestling and that importance of the titles. And I think fans are missing that from the importance of the titles and the storylines. For what it's worth, this ain't a wrestling review show, but coming off the heels of AEW Double or Nothing, I think it was very big for Cody to win that title. It makes it important. Yep. And I love the fact that these guys, the elite, and I'm speaking about here, who we know have power in the company, didn't thrust themselves in the titles right away. And they worked for them, just like everybody else there. So the importance of this Intercontinental title and what it did for careers to this day, it's supposed to matter. You said, speaking on Triple H getting out of this, Triple H is a 5-time champion, Intercontinental champion. RVD's a 6-time Intercontinental champion. Edge is a 5-time Intercontinental champion, and Jericho is a 9-time Intercontinental champion. That's my Mount Rushmore of the Oval Attitude Era Intercontinental Championship. You can't go higher.
Robin, so that would be Miz, Jericho, RVD, Edge.
Miz didn't have this belt that much.
Okay, enough. I apologize. Take Miz out of there. Miz didn't have the Oval Intercontinental Championship.
Right.
So that's
why we put him on the list because he had it that had that title 9 times, classic or beat remade or not. So I'm going Jericho, I'm going Edge, I'm going RVD, and I'm going Triple H as the Mount Rushmore of the Over Intercontinental title. RVD put such a great spin on this belt, and I'm gonna speak on RVD real fast, Corey, because as a guy who was not the biggest ECW fan. And I want people always to say this, and I say this, I always feel like I got to repeat it so people don't understand, because you never know who's listening for the first time. You can listen anywhere, wherever podcasts are sold. simply free. Just Google BDSR Network and you will see that, or just Google Belt Kings. I was on the phone this morning with WWE Shop. So I had ordered some shirts over the weekend, and all of a sudden yesterday, they were buy one, get one for a dollar. Mm-hmm. So I got a big refund that came back to me. Okay. So yeah, I'm talking to the guy. He's like, oh, I just Google Belt Kings. Yo, wow. So for those who don't know, here's the thing. I am friends with guys in the business. So when I crap on a company, I'm talking about the company, not the guys or the talent ever. Okay. I just was not a big ECW fan other than certain guys. RVD was my guy coming from ECW. Like, I just loved everything. The whole, he looked like Jean-Claude Van Damme. He jumped high. It was nothing to me that RVD couldn't do with Bill Alfonso. So I love him. RVD came over in the whole effing show, Mr. Monday Night, that whole gimmick. And then the battles that he had with Jeff Hardy, who should be an honorable mention, by the way, for this belt. Okay. And how many times he get it. And the way that he defended this title. Okay. Because this title was defended. And to me, one of the greatest... We talked about matches, right? We're going to talk about that right now as we skip to Malou, right? Mm-hmm. And it was WWE, I got to look it up, intervention or integration when they went. It was pretty much ECW, WCW versus Invasion.
Invasion.
And RVD invasion. And Jeff Hardy to me had one of the greatest matches for the Intercontinental I've ever seen.
Yes. Well, that was actually for the hardcore
championship. Ooh, that's even wrong. I apologize. But anyway, that match was great. So moving on.
Yeah, it was.
I've never been a fan of Jeff Hardy's ring work. I love him as a star. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, we look at wrestling different. He's not a Bret Hart. He's not a Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that match, I was like proven wrong. And I'm like, this guy can really go in the ring fast. It reminded me so much of WrestleMania 3, Savage versus Steamboat. I think they must have channeled that match, Corey, and just back and forth. The speed of that match is – I was out of breath watching the first 3 minutes of how fast these guys was going, Corey.
Right. Yeah, they were. That – and there was never a slowdown.
Right.
So that makes it even better that there was never a slowdown.
Some of your favorite matches for this Intercontinental title, as I brought that up.
Definitely Triple H Rock ladder match.
One of the underrated matches of all time.
It really is. It was really that good. As funny as it may sound, also the Good Housekeeping match with Jarrett and Chyna, just because of Chyna getting there, and because we had never seen that, for Chyna to win not just a championship but the Intercontinental Championship as a woman. That's a big deal. So that one's up there as well. Definitely, I would say, a lot of them are for 98.
That's a great year.
The two out of three falls with Triple H mm-hmm. Rock for mm-hmm. Intercontinental Championship. I want to also say...
I'm waiting for this one.
I'm going to say Edge versus Christian.
Yes, which one?
From...
Which one? Okay.
The ladder match.
Okay.
The ladder match.
That was so good. The ladder match. St. Louis, as a matter of fact.
Yep. And the ladder match. That one was good. I'm going to let you say what you think I was going to say.
I thought you was going to give me the triple threat match for the Euro Intercontinental title that Kurt Angle lost both titles at WrestleMania.
Oh, from WrestleMania. Yes. Okay. Getting there.
That's what I was going for.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's definitely... No, that's definitely one of the ones. That's one of the ones that's up there also. What other one? Because there's so many good ones. Shelton Benjamin and Chris Jericho when Ben won the first time from Taboo Tuesday. It was still Taboo Tuesday at that time. I want to say Taboo Tuesday 04. Yeah. I think it was Taboo Tuesday 04. Shelton Benjamin winning the Intercontinental Championship.
So Benjamin won it at Taboo Tuesday in Milwaukee in 2004. And then lost it subsequently to Carlito. Mm-hmm. Carlito lost
and
belt to Ric Flair.
Yeah.
I spit in the face.
Ric Flair. Now, here's the thing. Ric Flair had a really good run as Intercontinental Champion. People forget that.
And he was part of Evolution at that time. And the way they held them belts.
Yeah.
Flair would walk out with that belt over the rope, if you remember at that time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All the time. You're like, And if you go back and watch the documentaries that they show periodically, whether it was about Ric Flair or whoever it was about, but it talked about the Evolution time, that kind of, giving that belt to Flair at that moment, perked his career up a little bit. It gave Flair something to fight for and to, to, you know, as a wrestler, you got to, they got to want to still do it. And that made Flair want to still go do it during those Evolution years, Corey.
Yeah, this, it's crazy that, you know, Flair was able, they were able to, it wasn't just a placeholder to have Flair have something to do. Flair was a legitimate Intercontinental Champion, and it made sense. So, yeah, no, absolutely, he's one of the better ones, too. Now, I'm just
somebody had Gabe, when we're talking about best and worst champions, they said China was one of the worst champions over. And we know we talk about the worst champions, and we couldn't find one during that time for the classic Intercontinental title. I don't think China was a bad champion ever. And I'm not going to think that Rikishi, a one-time Intercontinental champion, was a bad champion. Can you say there was... Where do you stand?
I don't think any.
Like even Santino Marella. Well, that belt, he didn't have that belt then, so it doesn't even count. So.
Yeah, no, he did have the oval.
Okay.
Yeah, and Santino had. I think Santino was a two-time
Intercontinental Kingston. Yes.
Yep. So the no, I see, worst has such a bad connotation to it. But it means so in the sense of it, somebody has to be the best. Somebody has to, unfortunately, be the worst. China wasn't the greatest, that's for sure. Her runs with the Intercontinental Championship, as good as the match was, she won it in the importance. Her run was so tied into a storyline with Chris Jericho. And I could see why people say her run really didn't mean that much because it was – it wasn't, she was never really defending. It was storyline with Chris Jericho. And in which, you know, and I see why if somebody said she's the worst, I see why they're thinking that because they're like, well, she didn't have defenses with it. She didn't. She had that one run in kind of with where they mixed Hardcore Holly in there. And with, he's one that I really thought, man, they never made him Intercontinental Champion because they could.
I'm a fan of Hardcore Holly's work, and again, he to me the original protege of of Cody Rhodes, or when to call him a mentor for Cody when he was introduced. Going against the culture because they hate when you go against the culture. Right, but I always tell people wrestling has no culture; it's all about wrestling. That is the culture. It's wrestling, and hashtag wrestling is storyline. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Jackson, what was he doing? He won that belt in your backyard at Capital Punishment. Okay, from June to August, and then he loses that belt where Cody gets it. Ezekiel Jackson, I don't think he should have been a worthy champion of maybe having. I won't say worthy. That's not that's unfair.
That's another one, Mike, where it was tied into the storyline. It was basically tied into the storyline. He's one pretty much. Well, to be honest, Cody's another good one. Just, I'm thinking Drew McIntyre was another good one.
I almost wore that shirt today, okay? I went with the Marvel because that's what I had on. I think it was the DMV today, but I almost put on my Drew McIntyre, the Chosen One shirt. I really did because I knew he had that, but I said, I'm not going to do that to him since he got those nice side plates right now. I let him sleep in logs, sleeping dogs live, but you brought him up, so.
And no, he was on. There weren't really too many bad ones, but I could see where if people name somebody as a bad one, it's really tied into them not really having defenses with it, but more so just being they were the Intercontinental Champion because it tied into a storyline. And then they got it right off of them. so that's pretty much it.
Any matches for this title? Matches for this title during that time that you were just does any title for this belt over title make your all-time list? Because again, I think the WrestleMania one does.
The Eurocontinental
he lost two titles in one day. That's impressive.
Yep, that one is up there. Like I said, not Jericho, Edge and Christian ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship is up there. I'm sorry. Also, RVD is something to add on to or your argument that RVD belongs in Mount Rushmore. RVD unified two championships into that belt as Intercontinental Champion. He unified the Hardcore Championship and the European Championship into that championship. And RVD and Jeff Hardy, the one that unified the – I think that was the one that unified the – might have been the one that unified the European. I'm not – whichever one that unified into there, I want to say RVD and Jeff Hardy, I think that was a ladder match. And that's also another good one. So it's or it might have that might have been the hardcore. It might have been the hardcore actually. I think Jeff Hardy RVD was unifying the hardcore in the Intercontinental Championship into one belt. So
at that time,
yeah,
you look back. We're talking the height of the Attitude Era, also for this belt. So many good matches. So many good memories. I can't think of one that separates them, to be honest, from the classic, from those memories as a child and the ones that stick with you forever versus the ones in the Attitude Era.
Mike, I just want to make sure, I want to make sure I make sure I got myself. Okay. So I was right. The RVD versus Tommy Dreamer was the one that did the Intercontinental and the Hardcore. And it was RVD, Jeff Hardy with the Intercontinental.
Tommy Dreamer had a WWE title?
Yeah, but he was the Hardcore champion. And RVD unified when they were getting rid of the Hardcore Championship. Basically, they unified that into the Intercontinental Championship, and they also unified the European into the Intercontinental Championship.
We ever talk about that belt? Yeah.
With the Hardcore, I would say yeah. I would say for entertainment value alone, we will.
We get them.
We will. We gotta get. We can't be biased. We gotta get.
It's what it is. Titles are here. Champions are here, and so is Bell Kings. But that match, I'm glad you clarified that and fixed that because somebody that's going to try to pick you apart, and you they can't pick what you picked already. My Mount Rushmore. I said it was Edge, sure. Y2J, Triple H, and RVD for the Oval title. What's yours?
I would say Y2J, RVD. Edge is up there.
Not up there, Edge but on the list. Don't be treading the fence.
Edge is on there. So I can't even.
Who are you taking off? Triple H?
But Triple H is the one I would take off. And who I'm thinking I would put on there, to be honest,
Chris.
As close to it as. I'll put it this way. It's between Kofi, Dolph, and Shelton Benjamin.
I couldn't put on here
from the later.
Because he didn't have the over one, but for a short run. So why I didn't fair put enough. Him. Sheldon, you want to go there? That's fine, because I think his runs were amazing with it. It's not about how many times you've had it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Triple H had it five times, but how was those runs with that belt? Why does it stick out most? That's why you put them on that mat.
Shelton's reminded me, you know what? Shelton's reminded me of when Bret Hart first had it. Shelton's runs, because they were just throwing anybody in there with Shelton. He was literally defending. He was just going out there and having good matches. That's almost why I'm putting Shelton on there. But the same thing could be said about Kofi Kingston.
Kofi. We're talking about.
Taking Kofi.
We're talking
I'm
about.
Putting Kofi boom. In there.
Kofi, when he come out, the islands, Kofi.
Yep. I'm putting Kofi on, and especially because once again, Jericho being one of the goats of the business, he puts Kofi over.
Yeah,
he puts Kofi over, and I remember that first run because it was a surprise because Jericho didn't have an opponent. He pretty much was a defend doing that whole "I'll defend against anybody" type thing, and he was not originally scheduled to be in that match. And then Kofi Kingston, all of a sudden, I mean, granted, it was in the middle of the program that Chris Jericho was having with Shawn Michaels, which was Feud of the Year that year in 2008. But, I mean, at this point, Kofi gets it, and it's such a surprise, but then Kofi has a decent run with it. Going Kofi Kingston. Well, I'm going to go Kofi
Kingston.
Kofi's
first one at Night of Champions against Jericho. Lost it in August.
Mm-hmm.
To Santino Marella,
Santino.
Lost to William Regal.
That was in the William Regal had a good
run. November to January. Dude, then Punk won it in January. Mm-hmm. JBL got his first title run in 09 with it. Rey Mysterio took it from him.
Yep. And then back Rey to Mysterio, Jericho.
Back Jericho to got Ray, it back. John Morrison, McIntyre, small run. Then Kofi pops back on the team and gets it back from May to July. Over the Limit. Wow, I forgot about that pay-per-view. And over the Limit.
Yeah.
So your Mount Rushmore is going Edge, Y2J, Kofi, and RVD.
We're not locking that in. Okay. We're not locking that in. Only because
I need a lock. Lock it up.
Gosh.
Lock it up.
Rock's also a good one. Randy Orton's also a good one. Once again, Randy Orton, I still feel like was the most important one for his career.
You put Rock and Orton both having this title as important for their careers and launching them.
Yeah.
No, this ain't the overall Mount Rushmore. This is this title's Mount Rushmore. So if somebody's
this not title, on, that's and fine. I see, I'm taking Kofi off. I'm taking Kofi off.
I'm gonna tell you to lock it up after that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so put Orton. Put Randy Orton. That is Randy Orton.
Orton and RVD. All right. Mike got Edge, Y2J, Triple H, and RVD. Now, my overall Mount Rushmore for the Intercontinental title totality. This is the one people have been asking about. And how do you do that? How are you not gonna have this on there? I'm going Y2J, nine-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Miz, nine-time champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be the greatest two Intercontinental champions of all time. I don't care. They didn't have that many title runs. Okay. They were the best with this belt. They made this belt to me important. And to this day, made it important to other wrestlers who've mimicked them. Savage and Bret Hart. So I'm going Y2J, Miz, Randy Macho Man Savage, and Bret the Hitman Hart as the Mount Rushmore of the Intercontinental Heavyweight title.
And you know what's funny? I want to be biased so bad and put HBK on there because he had it. I am. Screw you.
I was wondering at what point Jericho was somebody's going to get screwed because your love for Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, Jericho, Miz. Oh, gosh. It's either Razor Ramon or Bret Hart.
There can only be one young Padawan.
There can only be one. We're going Bret.
Bret. You are so predictable. I literally wrote that. Okay. I literally wrote, and preparing for you, preparation, as they say.
Oh, wait a minute. No. I'm sorry. Wait a minute.
Gosh. Take it off.
Nope. Because you know what? No, I can't. An argument popped in my head for Honky Tonk.
The longest running.
He is the longest reigning, but no.
Listen, these lists, when it comes to these titles, all right, you don't understand. I love these shows because there's no wrong or right answers here, bro. You got Y2J, The Miz, Bret, and Shawn. Who's going to argue that? I'm not. Yep. And I have Y2J, Miz, Randy Savage, and Bret. You can't argue either one. If you want to go ahead and say, no, I'm going to throw RVD in there for this title, go right ahead if you feel that his matches warrant him to be there. This is our list. Comment below. Let us know your list.
Because Razor Ramon is there too, man. Looked,
so I had to go back. I want to make sure I didn't make no mistakes. So just like, I went back. I'll make sure I had the rightness. I'm going to say, well, you tried somebody different last week. And that's why I put out the pictures that I put out. So you could say, hey, that's my list. That's Corey's list. You know, other Bell Kings will make their list coming soon. And that's the proof right there. You can't go wrong with any answer. This is why I love professional wrestling. This is why I love these titles. Now, you guys, you have it. You have part two to this show. We gave you the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship part one. Part two, we give you the Oval Championship, belt made by two different belt makers. You have the Oval one made by Jay Maher, and Reggie Parks makes the classic Intercontinental title. Two different designs, completely two different eras, completely, which separates and makes this belt so wonderful and so great, Corey. Like I said, I know I plan on getting this belt in the future.
You know what? It's slowly been creeping. Like I said, when I saw it in Toronto, that's when it started creeping back in my mind. Maybe I should, because I've run into it, on eBay quite a few times.
It's when I see Bell King Mo underscore Eaton with the title. I go, it's a belt you've got to have. as a belt collector. I'm not necessarily.
And see, I've run it.
He has the purple strap. I wouldn't want the purple strap. Okay. Mm-hmm. I want the.
See, I've run into the WWF online, man. And that's the only thing that's tempting is that I know I've run into people selling the rated WWF Intercontinental Oval. And for me, it doesn't matter. To be honest,
that's just me.
But hot take right here. So it's one of the very few times you'll probably hear me say this. I think I would prefer having the WWE one over a WWF one. This, I think the lineage of that belt is WWF.
And I got WWF. You. And that,
granted, 98 to 02 was great for that championship.
The company changed. And
02 to 09 like that. Was that. Yeah, 02 to 09. Yeah, that's one of the few times I would rather have.
And you know what? And then what happens more too? When we go to these events, they won't block that out. They don't got to worry about somebody editing out your belt because all your belts say WF because they will block them off. I'm telling you, you've been on WB.com. Yep. I've been there, and those ones with the F has a big old block right over top of it. Like someone's gonna notice that, okay? But they make sure they take care. They notice that as well, guys. We'll be back next week for episode five. Mm-hmm. Episode. I don't know what we're gonna talk about because. You don't know because we don't know. So we find out. You'll find out. Make sure you go follow us on Twitter at Belt Kings, just like it's spelled B-E-L-T Kings. Because we're plural. We're more than one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And make sure you go follow us on Instagram as well, wherever social media is. So, and again, share this show here. It's going to be on YouTube today, on Blog Talk Radio, available, like I said, in every podcast network that is out there. I am Mike Knox. I spell name with three X's because like the superhero Dash Shag Gaspar, I am hardcore. So my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. He went out a hero, and he will always be a hero to me as well. Any final words you got to say before we got it here, Corey?
No, but I mean, this was such a hard show.
They both were hard.
Part one and part two was really hard to do. You start thinking of these champions, and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't leave him. That's why I had that lightning bolt hit my head. I was like, dang, am I leaving Honky Tonk Man out? But that's what this show's about. Stuff hits your brain. You're talking like about
Brad Sean. I was waiting to see what list you were going to put them both on. Yo, I was. Man.
It was this one.
Listen, that is my picks are my fix on Instagram, social media, wherever they are sold. Mm-hmm. And again, my name is Mike Knox. And guys, this has been Belt Kings Presents Champions, episode 4, part 2. Intercontinental Champion, guys. With that being said, we are out of here. Enjoy your day. We'll see you next week, y'all. Peace.
The champ is here.